I am not afraid to die. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I am not afraid to die. This is one of the silly things that go on in our life. We're afraid of being sick. We're afraid of all new adventures, all the unknown. We fear it. We get all sorts of anxiety in our body and in our mind and in our heart over all these things, and we wonder, gee, what's it going to be? And one of the things that we have the most anxiety about, for most people at least, is dying. They think that when you die, you're going to, they don't even know. Of course, the Bible hasn't helped. And Dante's Inferno hasn't helped, and the church hasn't helped. Even the current church, it hasn't helped. The Protestant church is no better than the Catholic church, nor any better than the Hindu churches and the others. They're all doing the same thing, saying the same thing, saying that when you go into your next dimension, you're going to have to pay the price for all the foolishness you did on this dimension. Well, now, that's really silly. Your own father forgives you. Your own father says, like the prodigal son, you know, you're home. That's the main thing. You're back. And that's the beautiful thing. And so when your own father can do that, do you think that the divinity of all, whatever we want to call God, the divinity of all could act any less toward us? What is death? And that, of course, is everybody's opinion. What is death? Death is when your physical body no longer has a spirit in it, and you have put aside that car, that coat, that cloak, and you're off to another adventure. Now, death also is when you're not seen anymore. You're not seen anymore. You get on a ship and you go over the horizon and you're not seen anymore. And people say, well, they're not dead. They're just off on another journey. Well, that's what we should really think about death. Because death is not a place. And I guarantee you this. How do you know, Herb? I've been there. You have too. Death is not a place where you have retribution. Death is not a place where you pay the penalty for having been a good or a bad boy. That's Santa Claus stuff, you know. It does not fit. When you play a game of chess, and you play a good game of chess, and you win, does that mean that the next game of chess, you're going to get everything going for you? No. If you play a poor game of chess, and you lose terribly, you lose miserably, you lose so bad, people say, why do you play chess? You come up with a score like that. And then you apply yourself. You apply yourself. And you say, hey, I can do this. And then, lo and behold, you can. Lo and behold, you learn chess. And lo and behold, you're very good at it. But that's not the point. Do you enjoy playing chess? If you don't, why are you playing the game? Do you enjoy being a doctor? If you don't, why are you doing it? Do you enjoy doing whatever profession you have in your life? If you don't, why are you doing it? I see, we're born free, at birth, you know. And at death, we are born free too. But we're born free, and we have the freedom to do anything we want to do. We have the freedom to be a happy person, a sad person. We have a freedom to be a bookkeeper, you know, a husband, a wife, anything that we want to be. We have the freedom to be it. And do we take the freedom, or do we listen to what the world around us says? Oh, you got talent. I looked at your IQ test, and you're good at being a mathematician, so you should be a mathematician. I don't want to be a mathematician, but you're good at it, so you should certainly apply your talent to what you're good at. Now, Mozart was good at composing music. Do you think that perhaps he might like to have done something else? Mm-hmm. Quite likely. Quite likely he would like to have done something else. Just because we have an absolute genius in any area of our life doesn't mean that's what we should do. People tell us that it does because that's the right thing to do, you know. And, you know, just an illustration that you're out with friends and everybody gets drunk except you. And so you are going to be the driver because you're not drinking. And you don't want to drive. You don't want to drive. You don't feel good about driving. You didn't drink, it's true, but you have a headache. You have your stomach upset. You don't want to drive. You feel very unhappy. So, but you got to. You're the only one that's, you know, not drunk. Well, then why don't we just all sit here in the car and wait till I feel better, or wait till you guys are not drunk anymore. You know? And so, who would do that? Who would do that? Now, you idiots, you get tired while you're driving. Do you pull over and stop and take a nap? No, you don't. You know you should do it. You know it would only take a moment of a nap, you know, 10 minutes, and you feel just great again. But you don't do it. You push, you know? Now, is that wisdom? No. You see, you feel you must get through. And when you go home, all you're going to do is go to bed or whatever you're going to do. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. We mess ourselves up because we think we have responsibilities. Now, death is not a responsibility. Death just happens because we have chosen to move to our next dimension. Now, I didn't want to die. People might say if they were given a chance. You did too. You did too. Everyone has the right and the choice to say, I want to live or I want to die. Now, do you believe you can live if you say, I want to live? You know? Do you believe you can die if you say, I want to die? Do you believe it? Now, really, it's just as simple as that. We're dealing with people with all degrees of things. You know, I was thinking of this. I haven't looked into it, but cancer is where one cell didn't get the message and went haywire. I have a feeling that AIDS, HIV, might be the same thing. It might be the same thing. One cell not getting the message and going haywire. Now we say it's because of this and that and the other thing. Well, what's the cancer for? Because of this and that and the other thing. You know? Everything is because of this and that and the other thing. But I was visiting with a friend yesterday, and as I was visiting there, her friend was telling us about her aunt and her uncle. And she is disposing of their home for them because the aunt is in a rest home and she needs the money to pay for the bill. And so she has this beautiful $500,000 home. $500,000 home, you know. Well, years ago, the landfill was not proper. And so the home slipped a little and twisted a little. Most of the homes in that area were the same way. They were built on fill. And they slipped a little bit. Well, then they sued the company that built the house, and they got $700,000 each home to take care of the problem. So what did the man do in this house? He used the money for whatever he wanted to use it for fun, for entertainment, for who knows what all. And although he had no things, his wife had everything. She had she bought everything that came along. But he didn't. And what happened? They didn't take care of their house. Now here it is. The man died. And the wife has nothing except the house. And the house isn't worth a tinker's darn because it's slipping away. And they can put pylons under it, as many of the neighbors have done. And when they put the pylons under it, then the house will be secure again. But in the process, they have to put a new roof on the house. And they have to put that $60,000. They have to put the pylons under it. That's over $100,000. Then they have to put new piping around the house. That's another $60,000 to go all the way around the house. Plus, they got to put a new floor where they've taken up the floor because it's cracked and so forth. And then who knows what else they're going to have to do? You know, put in new windows because the windows are twisted and turned. The whole thing is a big mess because they did not take the money and use it for what they had promised to take it for. They sued the company because they had falsely, not improperly built their house. And they had the opportunity to repair it at a time when the money was worth a lot more. And they didn't do it. And so now the old man, who was a builder, is no longer there. He abandoned his wife. He said, you take care of it, sweetheart. And so he died. And now she's in a rest home, needing to have a great deal of money every month to live there. And the money is supposed to be coming from the house, the sale of the house. But the sale of the house is in good condition, worth $500,000. And now they think if they can get $100,000 for it, they're lucky. But they have to fix it first before they can get the $100,000, you know? Now, isn't that interesting? You see, we choose to die to get out of problems. We choose to die so we don't have to face circumstances in life. We had one of our dear friends whose boyfriend chose to die because he was building up too many monuments of being dishonest. And it's a shame. It's a shame. You say, well, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Well, Herb, what are you talking about? Well, that's what it is. When you know the principle, and everyone does, and you violate it, you pay the price. Are you violating the principle in areas of your life? When you die, have you violated the principle, or have you lived a life that you felt was super duper? You really enjoyed yourself. And that when you died, anyone could tell me what happens when you die?
You change.
You live on another dimension. You live on another dimension, which you have been living on all along. Now, so we really don't die. Now, on the other dimension, are you going to do it any better than you did it here? See, if you're a person who doesn't live according to principle, then you won't have as good a time there as you had here. And each time, each dimension you go on to, you have these wonderful experiences. That's the cause and effect, pure and simple. And it's not that you're bad on the other dimension. It's that you hadn't built up a confidence in yourself to stand for principle. Yeah, we don't know many people in the world, but there are many people in the world who are so pure on principle that their reputation is unsullied by anything. No matter who says anything about them, it doesn't mean a thing because they're so pure on principle. They believe everything so beautifully. Now, those people, many of them disappear. Say, my God, they were taken away by kidnappers or something like that, you know. But nobody ever asked for any ransom. But they disappear. And what happens? They just move on to the other dimensions at their choice because they are so confident, so secure, and so beautiful where they are that all life is good. So to say I am afraid to die is a silly thing because we say, are you afraid to take the trip back east? Are you afraid to take the trip back to Switzerland to visit your relatives? Same thing. Are you afraid to go down to San Diego and see the doctor?
No.
Huh?
Speak, I said.
Yeah, speak. That's nice. The thing is, your car could be crashed. You could be have this, you could have that, and you could run out of gas. You could have all these things. But if your principles are secure, you don't do that. You don't do that. You're always sound. You're always secure. You're always wonderful. Now, this is death. Death is merely the movement from one dimension to another. And one of our dimensions, as I will tell you totally, living here in the monastery is a dimension. Going down to town is a dimension.
Yes.
Going back to Switzerland, that's a dimension. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, those are so easy. Yeah, that's right. Everything in the universe is easy. And we make it so complex because we mystify it. We want to make it so mystical. We want to make it so man shall never know God. That's true. Man will never know God unless he turns within and says, hi, God. And if we're looking for God outside of ourselves, we'll never find him. But when we look for God within ourselves, we'll find it, and then we'll know God. And that's great. But you will never know God so long as you're looking for something on the outer to help you, to solve your problems, to keep you from death and stuff like that. It's silly. It's silly. A lot of people are told they're going to die. And they're supposed to die at a certain time. And they say, well, no, I have my birthday coming up. I want to wait for that. Or no, my granddaughter is being born. You know, they knew it was going to be a girl. And so I want to wait and greet my granddaughter. And after I greet my granddaughter, then I'll go, you know. And so like that. Isn't that silly? Isn't that silly? Yeah, we can do it. We can do anything. And we play the game that we can't. And what a silly bunch of people we are. So why be afraid to die when dying is something we do constantly all day long? We die to old thoughts and are born to new thoughts. We die to old attitudes and born to new attitudes. And every one of us puts on a couple of jillion cells every day. And we fluff off the old cells and we put on the new cells. Fantastic. Yes. Now you notice that I was firm with Rex. Mm-hmm. He was getting playful when he shouldn't. And I was firm with Love. He was forgetting his manners. And we have to do that occasionally so that they will fit our program. Because who wants a dog that nips? And who wants a dog that won't settle down when you tell them to settle down? You see, the dogs are here for our enjoyment. If we don't enjoy the dogs, get rid of them, you know, and that's okay. You can give them away, kill them, you can do anything you want, but they're here for our enjoyment. Our life is here for our enjoyment, and we better make sure that our life is exactly the way we want it. Have you ever said, I don't feel good? That's a terrible thing to say. You always say, I feel good, I feel wonderful, I feel fantastic. You say, well, that's not true. Well, it will be, as you keep that as your only thought in your mind. And I live eternally. You will, as you keep that thought eternally in your mind. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. You see, as we put these causes in motion, we cannot allow a dog to act improperly. What that's doing is we're acting improperly. Now, we should be so secure in ourselves, we just say, down, quiet, and it's so. But we have a lot of other environments, a lot of other people's thoughts involved in this, thinking, oh, isn't that cute, you know. And so we have to live our own life. And that's why people disappear. And some people call it death, and some people call it the resurrection. And we'll be talking about that later this month when we have this seminar on the resurrection. So have a lovely day. And know that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.